Today on Straight Talk Africa, a discussion on post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. In the last two decades, according to experts, at least 18 African countries have been affected by civil wars and conflict. As a result, more than 100 million people are victims of PTSD. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, July 1st. I am Shaka Salih. My colleague and social media reporter, Maria Majaro, is on a special assignment in the Senegal's capital, Dakar, her home, sweet home. Today, we'll talk about the available approaches and treatments of PTSD among survivors of war and conflict in Africa. And coming up later in our STA inbox, you, our audience, have weighed in on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. And we'll reveal some of them later. Post-traumatic stress disorder has been described as a group of symptoms that include withdrawal, depression, sadness, or just unwanted remembrances. Individuals with PTSD are in their minds often stuck at the time the trauma occurred. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is simply described as a mental disorder caused by experiencing or witnessing deeply traumatic events like war, kidnapping, torture, displacement, or any natural disaster. The World Health Organization says that 10% of people who experience traumatic events will develop serious mental health problems. It also says that women are more vulnerable and more affected by trauma than men. The highest rates of trauma are found in children, followed by the elderly and the disabled. The greater the exposure to violent trauma, the more pronounced the symptoms.
They started to rape me. While in the living room, they had already killed my husband. Since we came here, we have been suffering.
Psychiatrist Norman Rosenthal treats PTSD sufferers.
Post-traumatic stress disorder is a cluster of symptoms that occurs in a person who has been exposed to very major trauma. In their minds, they're often stuck at the time of the trauma.
I was married to a Sudanese. After he was killed, they tortured me, almost killed me.
PTSD has been widely studied. 8 years after the Rwandan genocide, nearly a quarter of the population still showed symptoms of the disorder. According to a study by the United Nations, prolonged conflict in Somalia has left most of the war-torn nation's children with PTSD symptoms. PTSD and depression are also highly prevalent among refugees.
The soldiers took me and my brother with them. They dragged us away in the bush and gang-raped me in front of my brother.
David Shapiro, appearing on VOA's Africa 54 program, says meditation therapy is a proven and effective treatment for PTSD.
For post-traumatic stress disorder, we've done a number of studies in Africa. Mm-hmm. We did one study on Congolese refugees, and these refugees had severe, high level of PTSD symptoms. And what we did is we tested, one group learned the transcendental meditation technique and one group didn't. They were in a waitlisted group. And within 30 days, the TM group became non-symptomatic. Okay. And the control group showed no change over the entire four-month test. There are 350 peer-reviewed studies, which means in journals by experts and have been reviewed by journals that are experts that say it's extremely beneficial.
When you start meditating, it's like somehow something is going off you. Your mind, your body relaxes. You are just in your peaceful world.
One-third of all African nations have experienced war and or terror attacks in the past two decades, resulting in an estimated 100 million Africans experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios is our distinguished guest, David Shapiro, president of African PTSD Relief. He is the co-author of two studies that were recently published in the Journal of Traumatic Stress that researched the use of transcendental meditation and PTSD relief among Congolese refugees. I have to say frankly that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to finally host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. It's a great joy to be here. We discussed this a couple of months ago, and I really wanted two things. I wanted the world, and especially the African nations, to know there's a huge problem, and I want the African nations, especially the governments, to know that we have a very effective program to get rid of this problem, which is not only a mental problem, but it's also a block to the education process of students. It's a block to good family life, and it's a block to effective employment and economic prosperity.
Thank you very much. Now, joining us from our New York studios is Dr. David Okano, a licensed psychologist with 35 years of clinical and academic experience, specializing in forensics, neuropsychological testing, and medical psychology. Dr. Okano is the author and editor of 8 books on the subject, including his most recent entitled Prescribing Health, Transcendental Meditation in Contemporary Medical Care. And it's a pleasure, of course, Dr. Okano, to host you too for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You're most welcome. And last but not least, Dr. Solomon Mwangi, the Director for African PTSD Relief Projects in Kenya and the Coordinator for the Africa Excellence Institute's PTSD Rehabilitation Programs in East Africa, based in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. He joins us via telephone link up from the Kenyan district of Transmara, Naroka County. Good evening, Dr. Mwangi.
Good evening, Dr. Sully and listeners.
Well,
I'm honored to join you this evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Unfortunately for me, I happen to be a doctor, but without a clinic. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. But before we begin today's discussion, let's get an update on the latest political situation in Burundi. And for that, I am joined by my colleague, Edward Rwema, of the Voice of America's Central Africa Service. He joins us via Skype from the capital, Bujumbura. Good evening, Eddie. Good evening, Eddie. Eddie, are you there? Good evening, Eddie.
Good evening, Shaka. I can hardly hear you. Maybe
really?
The microphone or the volume of the microphone.
But I'm hearing you now loud and clear. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Eddie? Well, I'm afraid we seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties. For now, I suppose I'll come to you, David Shapiro. How does it feel like to finally be here on Straight Talk Africa, given that the first time we met was April 18?
Well, as you can see, we've given 3 presentations already on this very vital topic of PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
So we're glad to have the opportunity because there's a huge need for a solution. First, there's a need to even recognize there's a problem, and then once we recognize the problem, we have a need for a solution. So I want to use every moment possible to alert the governments and the people of Africa to the problem.
You know, listening to the piece by my colleague Paul Sisko, I just heard that it affects, in particular, women. Why are women most vulnerable in as far as the disease is concerned?
That I'm not really sure, but women are more sensitive. You know, they're more, I think women are more sensitive, so that may be the only, might be one reason. Also, there are many causes of PTSD. Everyone can be affected by war or violence, but rape is something, obviously, that predominantly affects women. So that would mean that, for example, in South Africa, in the one of the schools we tested, 80% of the girls entering the school, this college, had been sexually abused. So that means that a much greater percentage of women would be having PTSD, even in the same environment.
So if, in fact, you think, at least for a moment, the more than 200 Chibuoko girls,
yes,
in northeastern Nigeria, who were, of course, taken hostage by
right.
Boko Haram,
right,
they must be going through that sort of situation, isn't it, experiencing
oh, yeah.
that?
Absolutely. You know, so, again, the causes of PTSD are not just war, but any type of violence, sexual abuse, physical abuse, or even natural disaster like Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
So we think of the countries that have had Ebola. You see family members die. You see family members get very sick. And it's a huge stress. But to keep in mind that not everyone who has a traumatic event gets PTSD. Some people are more sensitive, and they get PTSD. And PTSD is a chronic condition. It means that it just doesn't go away. So something has to be done.
Walk us back in memory lane now. What inspired you, really, or triggered your interest in this disease?
Well, it's very interesting. A friend of mine was doing research in the United States on veterans in the United States because he knew it was a big problem with war veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm working in an Africa project. Why don't we test Congolese refugees? And then we tested them. We were absolutely inspired when we saw that in 30 days, 90% of the Congolese refugees with high levels of PTSD became non-symptomatic. We thought this is we can't say cure, but the reality is that's what we're thinking. We're thinking this is amazing, this is going to help. And then later on, we found out that 100 million people had a problem, so we decided we had to help.
When you talk about Congolese, did you find those refugees in Congo or in third-party countries?
No. We found them in Uganda.
In Uganda?
100,000 refugees live in Kampala, which is the capital of Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
They'd fled their country because of fear of more horrible incidences. And so there are obviously many people who stay in Congo and suffer with the after effects of violence. But this group, 100,000, are in Uganda. And the problem is that not only do they live with the suffering of memories,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have the same language. They speak French, and in Uganda they speak English. They're poor. They have no source of food or education. They're suffering in many ways which need to be helped.
So very briefly, what is the extent of the disease on the continent?
Well, we calculate 100 million people have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that is we looked at a country that's not in a war zone, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Eugene Allers, who was the past president of the Society of Psychiatrists for that whole country, estimated that up to 25% had PTSD. That's of a non-warring country. And we've done little tests in other countries that have wars, and we've tested different groups, 50% in one military academy, 80%.
Mm-hmm.
So we figure if we say 10%, which is 100 million of a billion population, it's a very safe number.
Very briefly, in 30 seconds, when you talk about 100 million human beings,
that's right.
How do you arrive at such a ballpark figure, really?
Yeah. Well, as I said, there are a billion Africans. If we say 10% of a billion is 100 million, and we say in many countries we're looking at it's 25 to 50%. We're being very conservative when we say 100 million people, and it's a horrible number.
Very interesting. Now we'll have to stop right there, where I'm sorry, I thought that, of course, I was in Burundi. We have to go for a break, and when we come back, we shall continue with the discussion on PTSD, or hopefully by then, the engineers will have fixed the lines so that we can get a report, a very brief report, from the Burundian capital, Bujumbura. Don't go away.
Africa and post-traumatic stress disorder. In the past 20 years, 18 African nations have been ravaged by war. 100 million Africans are estimated to have been victims of war, terror attacks, sexual abuse, and natural disasters, and now suffer from PTSD. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, and South Sudan, it is estimated that up to 50% of the population suffers from PTSD. In South Africa, where conflict has been minimal recently, it is estimated that up to 25% of the population may suffer from PTSD.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and of course, we are very lucky that we're going to be joined by my colleague, Eddie Rwema, from the Burundian capital, Bujumbura. Good evening, Eddie.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka. I can now hear you loud and clear.
I am hugely terrific, and I'm glad it could work out. What is the mood like from your vantage point?
The mood right now is a little bit mixed when you talk to the members or the followers of the ruling party, CNDD-FDD. Their mood is high. They're very happy that they were able to organize the elections, the local and parliamentary elections. On the other side, when you talk to the opposition, civil society, and other people that were against the running again of President Pierre Nkurunziza, they are not happy that the elections took place because they had requested a postponement so that they can provide the opposition with ample time and create an environment that is conducive for them to take part in this election. So I would say right now the mood is mixed. We've had lots of firing today as the country was celebrating its 53rd Independence Day. Here in the capital, Bujumbura, right now information we have is that at least seven people have died today because of the shootings and fighting that is going on in some of the suburbs here in the capital, Bujumbura, Shaka.
I see. How effective, to the best of your knowledge, really, was the boycott by opposition parties? Because we've actually been getting mixed reports about it. I am told reliably that, in fact, on the contrary, opposition supporters participated in the election.
It was effective, especially here in the capital, Bujumbura. In many of the polling centers that we visited, there was so much low turnout. I can tell you at one polling center where I went, out of 385 people that had registered to vote, only 58 people voted, and out of those 58, 50 were from the security organs, that's police and the army. So basically you would say that among the voters that we had registered, only 8 participated in the vote. Outside Bujumbura, we hear that there was a high turnout, but again, when you talk to different people, people say that most people went to vote because they had fear that something might happen to them if they didn't heed to the call of voting. The other thing is that, yes, like you said, we are learning that some members of the opposition went ahead and voted despite saying that they had boycotted the elections. When we speak to those members, they tell us that the reasons the results show that people voted for them is because their names, their logos had been put on the ballot paper before even they decided to boycott Shaka.
Yeah, because, of course, we do have reports that especially Agathon Rwasa, who is part of an alliance called Amizero, or HOPE, has actually happens to be running second to CNDD-FDD party. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is what we are hearing from the ground. That is what we are hearing from the National Electoral Commission. But when you speak to them, they tell you that they had come out strongly to oppose these elections. But since their name had already been put on the ballot box, that did not stop people who came out to vote from electing them. So, like you said, we are hearing that CNDD-FDD, which is the ruling party, is now ahead of the garnering so many seats from the elections that happened, and Amizero, which is a coalition that is headed by Agathon Rwasa, is so far coming second from the partial results that are being announced here in the capital, Bujumbura.
What about reports that Frodebu, of course, historical party in Burundi, especially given that it was, I think, founded by Melchior Ndadaye, the assassinated Burundian president back in 1993. What about the people, the spokespeople of that party, who characterized Monday's poll as a non-event? Do they have any hard grounds for that?
Every single opposition party besides those that are allied to the ruling party, when you talk to them, they'll tell you that Monday's elections was a non-vote. It was a single-party election. Everybody says that the elections were not supposed to take place because the environment was not conducive for every single party, be the opposition and others, to take part in this election. So it's very true when you speak to people here in Bujumbura. Most of them will tell you that whatever is going to come out of these elections is not going to be a legitimate Shaka.
We know, of course, that it was boycotted by the African Union and the European Union observers. What about other observers, regional and domestic monitors?
There were a few domestic monitors, mostly those from civil society organizations that are in a way allied to the government. Other people that were able to see was the United Nations monitors. They had issued a statement a day before the elections saying that they were going to go ahead with elections, but that does not mean that they stamp or they approve what is going to come out of the elections. So, yes, there were a few monitors, but other organizations, like you said, the African Union, the European Union, they all boycotted and pulled out their observers from monitoring the elections here in Burundi.
What can you tell us about the situation of refugees and internally displaced people?
Just a few reports we are getting from the United Nations Human Rights Commission is that just 2 days before the elections, close to 10,000 people fled in just 2 days. This is the same reports we are hearing now, that close to 140,000 Burundians have fled their country. Most of them have fled to neighboring countries like Tanzania, Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the issue of refugees, Shaka, as you may know, was one of the terms that was said by the heads of state of the East African community, that before the elections can take place, all the refugees should have been repatriated. The ruling party had been asked to disarm its youth wing, and also the opening of media. All that, I would say, were not meant, and that's one of the reasons why the international community, the opposition here, said that the election was a sham.
Any truth in the statement from the government that elections were free, fair, credible, and in fact were also secure?
In as far as secure is concerned, I would say the elections were very secure. Most of the polling stations we visited, they were all secure. There was a lot of military and police presence. But again, one thing that we should not forget is that not so many people came out to vote in most of the polling centers here in Bujumbura. Actually, there were so many police and army officers voting instead of seeing so many residents from different suburbs coming out to vote, Shaka.
Well, I have to say thank you so much, Eddie, from the Burundian capital, Bujumbura. Make sure that you take care of yourself.
Thank you so much, Ndugu Shaka.
You're most welcome. Well, let me go to New York and see if I can talk with the good doctor. Good afternoon, Dr. Okano.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Very good.
What are the fundamental root causes of post-traumatic stress disorder? Is it largely a war disorder, or is it an equal opportunity employer?
Well, the last statement you made applies to this disorder. PTSD is one of the anxiety disorders, and I'm a psychologist and psychiatrist, and counselors treat this disorder all the time. I've been dealing with it in the trenches, so to speak, with patients for the past 35 years. And it doesn't necessarily have to be caused by war. There's all sorts of trauma that goes along with war. But I've seen post-traumatic stress disorder with people who learned of other people's trauma and were so horrified by it, they began having symptoms of PTSD that David mentioned earlier. First responders, paramedics, emergency medical technicians often develop PTSD, as do firemen and policemen. People who are involved in natural disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis. Literally anything that is so traumatic that it overwhelms the nervous system, there's going to be about 1 to 2 in 10 people who, for possibly some genetic reasons, or they've experienced a number of what we call adverse childhood events, they're vulnerable to the development of this disorder. I basically think anybody is, if the trauma is strong enough. So while we certainly see it with our returning combat veterans in the United States and in previous wars such as the Vietnam War, we see it with civilians here in Africa suffering from the effects of war and all the atrocities that go along with it. But really, it is an equal opportunity destroyer, as we say, and can affect anyone, anybody involved in a highly traumatic event.
Now, doctor, for the sake of our audience, again, what are the symptoms of PTSD?
Well, one of the criteria that we have for it as mental health professionals is some type of exposure to a traumatic event, or learning about it, or hearing about the gory details of an event, usually some type of horrific trauma. Following that, and what usually happens because of the trauma, is a dysregulation and disturbance in emotional functioning, which leads to severe symptoms of anxiety, often depression, what we call emotional numbing, where the person feels like their emotions have dampened and they don't have full access to them. People become socially estranged, socially isolated. A number of my patients were Vietnam veterans, came back from the war and quickly moved out to the country and isolated themselves because they didn't want to be around other people. It was, their nervous systems were so over-aroused and sensitive, they just wanted to be somewhere where it was simple and peaceful. And in the new edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatry, DSM-5, they've added another component to the diagnosis of PTSD, which is aggressive behavior. People who become irritable, explosive, agitated at the sound of, for example, car backfiring, or because of their own internal memories that keep reoccurring in flashbacks, reliving the trauma, if you will, which is another component of PTSD, and they can become violent. So when you put all this together, we have an anxiety disorder that is goes well beyond anxiety and dysregulates the whole central nervous system, and the person feels it tends to be a chronic disorder, and the person feels psychologically uncomfortable or in a state of terror most of the time.
I see.
And consequently, they spend their lives trying to avoid any source of any type of stress. Their lives become constricted. They become socially isolated. And it causes a lot of problems in day-to-day living.
I see.
Trying to work a job, trying to be in an intimate relationship, etc.
Thank you. You're tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan in Uganda.
African governments need to avoid situations that lead to military confrontations because war is a major cause of PTSD. African governments should also set up more centers to provide guidance and counseling to PTSD victims, along with recruiting and training more social workers and counselors. Mental health institutions and drug rehabilitation centers should be developed and psychiatrists trained to help the mentally ill, alcoholics, and drug addicts.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. For a generation, tens of millions of Africans have been victims of violence or witnessed horrific acts of terror and now suffer from PTSD. NGOs are now helping refugees to reclaim their lives by overcoming the debilitating effects of traumatic stress. However, many observers have raised the question as to what African governments are doing to re-establish a positive state of physical, emotional, and social well-being of their citizens. This leads us to our question of the week, which asks, how can African governments address the issues that affect survivors of conflicts and civil wars who may suffer from post-traumatic syndrome, disorder of PTSD? We have received a lot of feedback to this question of the week, and thanks for using all our social media platforms to communicate with us. Let's begin with a comment from Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan Uzondu Isionye from Monrovia, Liberia, who writes, my country went through a decade and a half of civil conflict. I can safely say that it is a difficult challenge for a nation coming out of war. We have even had to deal with an Ebola epidemic. If I was President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, I would pursue a rigorous rehabilitation program to help not only those that participated in the war, but civilians that were affected as well. It would be at the top of my agenda. Another reminder that we are tweeting live today, use the hashtag VOA Surviving War or hashtag VOA Africa PTSD Relief. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Muramuzi Innocent, who tweets at VOA Shaka, fine, PTSD problems can have solutions, but why can't our leaders rather prefer preventive measures and avoid the senseless conflicts? We have another tweet from Sydney G from Queenstown, Eastern Cape in South Africa. At VOA Shaka, the insatiable greed for African leaders to remain in power for decades is the very root cause for instability and insensate wars. Well, very interesting. Are you with me, Dr. Solomon Mwangi?
Yes, I am here.
How would you like to react to that?
Well, yes, I agree that we need to avoid this conflict, but in some areas they are not caused by the leaders. For example, in the area where we are dealing with the PTSD here in Kenya, we have some tribes which were fighting for many years because of cattle rustling. The border with Tanzania and Kenya, the tribes of Maasai, Kipsigis, and Kuria. For 5 years, from 2005 to 2010, they were stealing cattle from each other and then revenging, and a lot of violence came up and a lot of deaths. And because of that continuous conflict for 5 years, there was a lot of PTSD that came up, and it was not caused by these leaders.
What about the Turkana in Kenya and the Karamojong across the border in Uganda?
Yes, I have also heard about the Turkana, Karamojong, Turkana, Samburu, and Pokot, and this is also due to cattle rustling. I hear that there are other reasons which I do not understand, and I'm not an expert in that field, so I cannot comment on that. All I know is what we are doing to help the sufferers of PTSD.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to another Facebook posting from Kola Akin from the Nigerian commercial capital, Lagos, who writes, it is quite unfortunate that most African countries do not keep proper medical documentation of victims or patients who have various ailments. It will be a step in the right direction if more emphasis is focused on an issue like PTSD. Social welfare departments must be adequately equipped with qualified social workers. Until social work in all spheres of life in Africa is recognized, the problems presented by PTSD will continue to linger. And another Facebook comment comes from Yahya Ahmed Gumer from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, who writes, beyond a reasonable doubt, there is a blatant and sometimes annoying attitude towards the open disregard and abuse of children's rights. This is particularly true when it pertains to girls, who suffer the most part of this trauma and abuse. This senseless action is usually manifested in the form of an early marriage and other out-of-place practices such as female genital mutilation. What about that, David?
There are many causes of PTSD, and we said earlier that you know, that women bear a lot of the burden.
Mm-hmm.
So from our side, we want to, one of the big problems is that it was, as was reported by the Voice of America, in the areas where there was Ebola, there's very, very few mental health professionals to handle the problem. So we need to look, I think...
Why is that so?
Well, it's up to the governments, and it's up to the, which is run by the people, to decide to send these people for training.
So the
it's a matter of education.
So the government's pretty much missing in action?
It seems like that. I'm quoting a Voice of America report. So then if there isn't, and that takes years to train a mental health professional, there are many alternative approaches. I'm familiar just with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a recent study at the Veterans Administration did a study on alternative PTSD approaches.
Mm-hmm.
And transcendental meditation seemed to be, by that study, the most effective. So I think we should do whatever we can, but we should pick the most effective approaches to save money and time and to help as many people as possible.
There are situations, of course, where government officials will tell you that they have no resources, but some might, of course, say perhaps, in fact, what they don't have is the will.
Yes, it certainly will, because when you realize that PTSD blocks the education process, blocks the creativity and productivity in the youth, it blocks relationships in family and blocks productivity, you spend $100, that's all it is $100 to $150 for the first year to help a person, and then they're able to run their own businesses, they're able to live a happy life, they're not destroying each other. We saw that some of the effects of PTSD are violence and war and terrorism. So you cut out, you minimize the war and violence on each other. People can become more productive. Students can study better. You can't afford not to use something effective to reduce PTSD.
If we were to talk about the bottom line, where do you get the funding from?
Well, we get it from well-wishers. We're a new organization. As I said, in 2011, we did our first study, and we were delighted to hear how effective this one program is. So we're reaching out to corporations. We're reaching out to well-wishers, foundations, to governments. We're inviting everyone to quickly set aside differences and use effective solutions.
I see. Yes, indeed. That does it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page, enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel, subscribe to VOA TV to Africa, and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, the political crisis in South Sudan is taking a heavy toll on the nation's citizens. Nearly 2 million people have been displaced due to the fighting between supporters of President Salva Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar. As South Sudan's humanitarian crisis grows, there's little to celebrate on the country's July 9th 4th anniversary. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiu Iwat, and let's go to the lifeline of the show, the telephone callers themselves. Good evening, team.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka.
Yes, sir.
My name is Temi Tope. I'm calling you from Nigeria.
You're most welcome, sir. What is your question? You have a minute.
No, I have an opinion, a contribution, as it is.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. More especially in Africa, I want to believe that the issue of PTSD is the knowledge about it is a bit limited. compared to what is obtainable outside Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the awareness is not what you have in America. For example, in Nigeria, where I'm calling from, you have soldiers that went outside the country for war. They come back without proper medical check, and they just live like that. Nobody cares what happens to them after the war. Even some of the soldiers are involved in the conflict in the northeastern zone of Nigeria. My opinion is that African government should do more in creating awareness about the effect of PTSD. Hello, Shaka.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Your point is well made. Thank you so much, team all the way from Nigeria. A reminder that you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
Symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. PTSD is a mental health pandemic that can lead up to a number of symptoms, including repeated and painful recollections of a traumatic event, feeling withdrawn, depressed, and separated from others, an inability to sleep and or being hyper alert, being prone to outbursts of anger or violence. PTSD sufferers are at an increased risk for drug, alcohol, and cigarette use, all of which impact health and productivity. PTSD victims are more likely to be antisocial and less able to maintain relationships. Some may even be suicidal.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizuyu Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Good evening, Samuel from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka Sali. How are you?
Hugely terrific. How are you today?
I'm very, very okay. I straight away ask the panelists who are seated with you, what can African governments do to ensure that they reduce the stress of wars and conflicts among the population, which are brought about by undemocratic principles of leaders that do not want to respect the constitutional amendments, and they keep on shifting the goalposts, which bring about stress among the populace in Africa.
Thank you
very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome, sir. Thank you so much. Why don't we have Dr. Solomon Mwangi in Kenya go for it?
Well, in terms of techniques that reduce stress, it is well known that from the 1960s, a lot of research has been done on the Transcendental Meditation or TM technique. And this is a technique that gives the nervous system of the individual very deep rest in a very natural way, and thereby reducing stress more than any other technique. And we have seen that in the last few years with research in PTSD, that it is the most effective method of reducing PTSD and making the people become more normal. We have seen that with the project that we are running in Kenya, in areas where there has been a lot of stress due to cattle rustling and so on. And we intend to go into other areas of the country where now we have been affected by PTSD, not only through these things that come through election period, but also caused by, like, our recent events here, like terrorism. So I would say one technique I would recommend very much is the Transcendental Meditation, TM technique.
What about the issue raised by a team from Nigeria about lack of awareness?
Yes, I think we need more awareness. What we have seen is that a lot of us are living with PTSD without even knowing it. But you can just see from what the doctor was saying and from what David was saying, that in Africa it's estimated that about a quarter of the population are living with PTSD. So we need the governments, the health ministries to raise awareness of the people.
I see. Let's go to Andrew from the same country. Good evening, Andrew. You're most welcome straight to Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. How are you?
Usually terrific. You have a minute, my brother.
Yes. To begin with, Mr. Shaka, they say prevention is better than cure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad the panelists mentioned the refugee crisis in Uganda, in our country. You have the Congolese running away from the conflict in Congo. You have the Burundians now coming in. The Rwandans haven't fully settled. You have Somalis coming from Somalia. It is sort of a crisis you can't imagine. But now, I think the governments that cannot apply preventive measures, honestly, deal with the post-conflict issues. Well, I think the important thing is after conflict, in the event that we can't prevent it, can we build legal systems that are competent enough to deliver justice? The biggest source of stress is when people, the victims, live with their tormentors. There is no justice done. That is the source of stress and disorder. You're tormented by a community, and the governments can't judge, can't stand in between. That is the biggest source of, we must bring justice to the victims. The tormentors must pay for their criminality.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's go to Dr. Okano in New York. Doctor, based on available research data, could you briefly describe the most effective approaches to treat the disease?
Well, some of the standard approaches used to deal with PTSD that psychologists or psychiatrists or social workers might use, one is cognitive processing therapy, where you identify the faulty, distorted thoughts and the resultant feelings that come with this disorder, and you challenge them and eventually supplant them with more rational, adaptive thoughts. That has been that has met with some success. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a variant of that, and that has made some success with essentially the same goals. And there have been medications, mostly the antidepressants, what are called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They've been studied, and they have shown some success in dealing with this disorder, although not as much as therapy. And the by far the most studied traditional therapy has been prolonged exposure therapy, where the A therapist works with a patient to develop tolerance to, first, what we say imaginally, in their mind, imagining the trauma, and slowly becoming less and less reactive to it. And then the therapist might have the person do what we call in vivo exposure, which is go to areas that stir up anxiety associated with the trauma in a slow, graduated fashion, and keep doing that until the arousal and the symptoms begin to gradually diminish. Now, when you look at the literature, transcendental meditation, as David mentioned in the beginning, he went over the studies, is, in my opinion, superior to these approaches when you look at the numbers, when you look at comparing transcendental meditation with other types of meditation, which has been mentioned in the book that was mentioned previously, Prescribing Health, that it's 2 to 4 times more effective than other meditative approaches in reducing anxiety, depression, and other symptoms of PTSD. As a psychologist, I would love to see my patients become asymptomatic in 30 days. You just don't see that in clinical practice for any disorder, even with medications. You're lucky to see an absence of symptoms or symptoms drop down below the clinical range with any type of intervention. Now, TM is therapeutic, but it's not a therapy, and it's extremely effective by itself, which addresses some of the questions before about this is such a pervasive problem. We don't have many mental health professionals in Africa. And when it's combined with conventional or traditional approaches, it's like a rocket booster on the therapeutic process, and people get better quicker, and they develop happiness. Again, most therapists would like to see patients just feel better. But with this technique, which, by the way, I've been practicing myself for 42 years, leads to happiness, even a state of bliss. I've seen it in my patients. Every one of my patients who've learned transcendental meditation for PTSD or other disorders moves at a lightning speed and become better and become move beyond pathology into a state of well-being and happiness. And that just isn't something that mental health professionals talk about very much.
Thank you. Time happens not to be our best ally, of course. David, how can people access your website, for example?
Oh, yes. So you asked a question before about how people can help. They can help or access the website either way, www.ptsdreliefnow.org. That's ptsdreliefnow.org.
Well, unfortunately, as I said, time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, David Shapiro, President of African PTSD Relief, Dr. David O'Connell, licensed clinical and forensic psychologist and author, Prescribing Health, Transcendental Meditation in Contemporary Medical Care. He joined us from our New York studios. And last but not least, Dr. Solomon Mwangi, Kenya Director of the Africa PTSD Relief Project and Coordinator for the Africa Excellence Institute's PTSD Rehabilitation Programs in East Africa, based in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. He joined us via telephone link from the Kenyan district of Transmara, Narok County. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning is Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beater, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.